Hi, my name's Sarah G. I'm a compulsive overeater and very, very grateful member of this program and of this particular meeting. OA Footsteps, Big Book, Daily Meeting. Really, really proud to be a member of this group. This is my home group. And I've been coming to this meeting for what date are we on now? We're in September. So July, just over 1 year. I've got just over 1 year abstinence, and I'm proud of every single day I've lived in the abstinence. It's been an amazing journey, hard, simple, hard and deep and joyful, and all the feelings in between. I've had to feel so many feelings that I haven't felt since I was about 10 years of age, probably younger, because I was eating compulsively from the age of about five. So I've gone right back to that original Sarah G, a little Sarah G. So I've kind of reclaimed her whilst going through the steps. And I'd just like to thank every single member here who have helped me tremendously. All of your experience, strength and hope has given me so much. I can't even put it into words how much strength, love, and combined, all of that combined is just so, it's amazing. It's better than food. The spiritual dividends of the program is what I've needed in my soul. And I never knew that. I thought that food was that spiritual nourishment, but for me, it wasn't. It was a way to push down the feelings, almost like in concrete. You can imagine, like, push down and down and down, and those feelings atrophied into that concrete, never to be seen again until I've worked this program and then started to have a food plan, a sponsor, work the steps, do the prayer and meditation, go to the virtual intergroup now. I've just come back from virtual intergroup, my first meeting. It was really interesting, actually. So all these different parts of the program have meant that I can feel my feelings, because there's kind of like a structure around me, almost like I'm visualizing a building with scaffolding around it, and then it's rebuilt from the ground up. And I'm held, even when I feel like I'm not, I'm held by this structure around me. And without that, I would pick up the food. I mean, it's as simple as that. By default, I am a compulsive overeater and always will be a compulsive overeater. So by the grace of God and by this program, it's the defense against me acting out on my alcoholic foods, which, by working the program, I know what those alcoholic foods are for me, and they're very different for everyone else. But for me, I know what my list of foods are, and it's much more than that. This program, it's much more than just knowing my alcoholic foods. It's about having a power, turning my life over to that power, doing an inventory of my defects and asking God to remove those defects on a daily basis, and making amends, going out and making amends. And the first one I made was to me, because I treated myself really badly, and then making amends to other people, and then doing a daily step 10, prayer and meditation. I'm going quickly through those steps, but they're in my heart, They're in my heart, and then passing the message on to other people is a step 12 after having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So the steps are the food, the substance, the way I get nurtured in my soul, the steps, God. And so it's really not about the food, ironically, but it so is about the food. So I'm going to go back to when I was a kid, right? And I needed to eat compulsively. I believe I was born a compulsive overeater. I'm not going to get into a nurture nature debate. I think it could be maybe both, right? But I think even if I was born to the most perfect family ever, I'd still be a compulsive overeater. That's just my take on it. I knew, because reason I know categorically is because I'm a twin, and my sister, even though she's probably could do with this program, she reacts slightly differently to me. Anyway, That's a whole different ball game. I can't do her inventory. She probably could do with this meet, this fellowship, but it is interesting to see how I have responded to life differently than my twin sister. I think I was born an addict, 100%, with a hole in the soul. And so me reaching for food at 5 years of age was me trying to fill up that hole in the soul. And I remember going into my living room. I live in Bristol, southwest of England. I was went into my living room in Bristol, and I had a special device where I could find where my mum's hidden sweets were. And my mum was probably an overeater as well. But anyway, I could home in and find where the Christmas sweets were hid. Like under no circumstances must you go into the room, Sarah, and eat those sweets. Well, that's just like saying to an addict, go and eat those sweets now. I mean, I'm going to do it, right? So that's what I did over and over again. I mean, it was just like, and I would steal things. I would binge on food. I would steal. I had no conscience. I had no guilt conscience about that. It was like, I need that. It's like my drug of choice, and I'm gonna get it. And yeah, I was driven on that, you know, like finding ways, strategies to find where the food was, because my life depended on it. I would hide food, I would store food, I would buy stuff that I didn't need, and it would go off because I would have, like, I mean, it was like I was, I know that's unusual for an overeater for stuff to go off, but I used to hide food in every drawer in my bedroom, and I would even forget how much food was in there. So I'm just giving you a little bit of identification. There's my behaviors and my overeating. And then I did that from the age of 5 to when I came in when I was 50, so 49, 50. So all of those years acting out. And my development, even though I've been in many other fellowships and I've done a lot of work, I've done a hell of a lot of step work, the credits don't transfer. So I needed a way to home in on these specific areas of acting out. I was acting out in these food behaviours. There's a lot of shame that comes up about this, you know. As I speak, I can feel a lot of shame coming up. But I'm also really proud of myself for doing the program, because for an overeater to go through all of that and feel ashamed to then say I'm busted and to come in, it takes a lot of guts. And my guts were spilling open. My guts split open at the seams, and I wasn't about to sew them up again, because I just knew that if I didn't say I'm busted, please help me, that I would, you know, I was feeling pretty suicidal at the time. This was about a year, just over a year ago. And I knocked on the door of an OA meeting face to face, and I got the wrong venue. And I knocked and I knocked, and I was having a panic attack outside of that door. And I got the wrong venue. I got the wrong venue. Can you imagine the feelings I was feeling? I was like desperate, and I got the wrong venue. And then I cried out to God, help me, God, help me. I'm desperate. I need a meeting. You've got to help me right now. And then I went home and I Googled OA meetings, and it led me to the OA virtual footsteps meetings. And I quickly, that was about 8:30, or it might have been near 9 o'clock my time, so that would be 4 p.m. Eastern time. It was a near to 4 p.m. Eastern time as you can get. And in I go to the meeting. Now that is higher power. Higher power knew that I was going to get on to the 4 p.m. Eastern time meeting, the big book study. Now I didn't have a clue. I thought I was going to a face-to-face meeting, that I would be, people would be hugging me, giving me a cup of tea. And this is how much that Sarah G does not know, because the human mind, as amazing as it is when it's aligned with God's will, is actually not very functional when I'm not aligned to God, and it's a tiny little mechanism compared to the infinite abundance of God. My little tiny brain and what it thinks is going to happen and what it does, what, you know, it's just like, I don't know basically what is going to happen from any given moment. And that's wonderful because God works outside the box, which means here I am in a virtual intergroup. I was just in a virtual intergroup meeting. That's a miracle, but I'm in a virtual meeting and, who would have thought, you know? And I get to participate. So I'm abstinent by the grace of God. I feel good. I feel good even in my negative feelings of grief. I'm grieving about losing the queen. I'm not a royalist or anything, but her passing has affected me, and I'm grieving that. And I can feel love. I can feel grief. I can feel gratitude. I want to serve. I want to serve away because of all the abundance he's given me. I mean, it's just amazing. It saved my life. And I just feel so grateful for having a sponsor that was there for me when I was crying down the phone. The amount of times I've been crying down the phone and I think my sponsor's going to think I'm crazy. Well, no, she would say to me, "You're not crazy, you're going sane. You're not going insane, you're going sane, you're turning sane," because crying and speaking out about true feelings is actually healthy. It was when I was pushing all those feelings down and not speaking about them that was insanity, because it led me to like keep doing the behaviors over and over again. Yeah, it's amazing. I've been given another life. I just feel like my recovery from when I went into recovery 17 years ago in another fellowship to now has been a series of rock bottoms. And I don't expect to be fixed overnight anymore. I don't expect to be fixed or to be feeling great in that sense of that addict like high of like, I want to feel good now. It's not like that. All I need is to be real. All I need is to be real. That's all I need. And if I've got that realness and I've got that honesty, the H of the program, the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness of the program. If I got the H, which is most for me, the most important one, the honesty, I've got that link with God, because I'm not aiming to be good anymore. I'm just aiming to be honest. Even if I've made mistakes and I'm honest about it, that gives me the link to God. But if I'm not honest and I look good, I haven't got the link to the HP. So I'm aiming to be honest today, not good. And I'm not good. I mean, you all know me, Sarah G. I'm not always a good girl, but I think generally I'm pretty honest, you know, from the gut, punch from the gut, you know, because I know from feeling suicidal and nearly dying that actually the only way to go is to punch from the gut and to be honest, because my life depends upon it. Yeah, I've just come from the virtual intergroup meeting, and I'm so excited. I never thought I would be excited about a virtual intergroup meeting, but I really recommend like service because it's really it's structured and it holds me. And because I've got just a very active mind, I need to get my teeth into a lot of things. So to actually quickly assimilate like all of this information and get it into categories, and it's just really exciting for me. My brain like loves that. It's like giving my brain food. So I'm giving my brain food, I'm giving my soul food, nourishment, which is the spiritual dividends of the program. And those are the areas in my body, my mind, my soul, which I was completely unaware of before. I honestly thought that the food, God wouldn't worry about my food. I must have thought that on some deep subconscious level that God doesn't care about what I eat. I mean, but God does care about what I eat, and he cares about all areas of my life. I mean, he does. He cares about self-care. He cares that I'm looking after myself. It really, really does. And I've there's so many people on this meeting today that I love, and who have guided me, and I've listened to, and I couldn't do it without you, because we all learn from each other. The unity of tradition one, the unity of the group is so, so important. I really want to make that abundantly clear that I'm sort of not talking from my own selfish perspective. But without you guys, I wouldn't be here, I really wouldn't. I mean, it makes me emotional just talking about it, because every single one of you and your stories are like a tapestry, God's tapestry, which holds all of us. It really, really does. I'm getting a bit emotional because this means so much to me. And just going through the steps and learning about the traditions and the concepts are just phenomenal. And there's always deeper learning to go. There's always another layer of the onion. So just as I think I've learned about step one, I learn about step one on an emotional level. I'm powerless over food. My life has become unmanageable. And then the step one is the more the unmanageability goes deeper about the behaviors and my attitudes and all of it. It's not just a one trick pony. It's just spiritual books and spiritual lessons go deeper and deeper and deeper, and there's a never end to it. It goes on for affinity, which is what I need. I need that depth and that weight. Otherwise, I would just take the mick and think, "Oh, that's easy. I've done this. I'll go off on my merry way. I don't need anyone anymore." And it's like, I need you guys, and I need that depth and weight of the program. So I think I'll leave it there. I think I've come to a natural end. I'm not going to extend it just because I've got 20 minutes. That's my gut is telling me, Sarah, you've said what you need to say, and I'm listening to my gut, my head, my heart, my soul, my gut, and the God is just aligning those one day at a time. Thank you very much. I really do love you, and I just want to say thank you for being there. Thank you.